Stand by.
Hi, this is Jeff.
And Gretchen.
And we're doing show number 42.
Hey.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Long time no see. Yeah. You're looking good.
Hey, thank you.
How about me?
Well, you look good. I like your t-shirt.
Oh, thank you.
Want to talk about t-shirts?
I'm wearing my This and That with Jeff and Pat shirt. I'm wearing my bling.
And I'm wearing a t-shirt.
That says...
Actually, I could talk about it because this is now a fashion statement that is the most popular fashion statement that appeals to both men and women. And I think it's actually kind of interesting that it hasn't been one in a long time that both men and women can wear.
What is that fashion statement?
It's a graphic t-shirt. It's not a boring white t-shirt anymore.
Yeah.
And it's short runs of t-shirts that make a statement either about interesting art or about phrases or about some kind of pop culture. And they are sold through either small websites or they're made in small print runs, like 600 or under. And they're a unique statement that people are pairing with either men are wearing them under blazers and women are wearing them with expensive designer jeans or skirts. And
will you go help me find one for me?
Well, you are wearing one with your this.
Am I wearing one? This one's nerdy, though. On the back of it is a picture of me on this t-shirt.
Well, here's one that, remember Don Adams from Maxwell Smart, Get Smart? And got his shoe up to his face as he's using it as a phone. That was like the first image from the 60s. And that's one of the, just to describe
to the audience what it's like.
But actually, any art students are getting really popular by putting their images on t-shirts. And they're actually becoming a statement because nobody wants to wear the same old boring white t-shirt anymore. And so this is one way to do it, to express your individuality. And it's working for both men and women. So,
very good.
Just FYI, that's what's happening now.
And what does your shirt say?
My shirt has an image of a sort of Joan of Arc-like character with some gothic letters that says, "I eat boys like you for breakfast." So don't mess with me tonight, baby.
Don't mess with Gretchen tonight, man. She's a man-eater. Here she comes.
Boys like you.
She's a man-eater. Okay.
So that's what's happening in the fashion world.
Well, cool. I'm glad that's happening.
It is.
So we have a little dog barking. You can probably hear. He's our cute little doggy neighbor.
And there's air conditioning going, too.
And there's air conditioning going, too. So the sound quality of these shows is just not what they used to be.
Not up to par, Jeff.
Not up to Jeff par.
What are you doing?
But we'll be okay. Hey, I saw a study this week. A study, yes. You say, what kind of study?
What kind of study, Jeff? Sorry, I missed my cue. I thought you were just going to tell me.
Yeah. You know, we've got this all scripted and you're missing your lines.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay, a little bit of fat does hurt. Here's what they did. This is such a simple study, and yet it showed so much. They have shown that eating just one meal high in saturated fat, in the case of this study, they used carrot cake and a milkshake.
Oh, carrot cake, man.
Sorry. It can quickly prevent good cholesterol from protecting the body against clogged arteries, a small study shows. So, isn't that interesting? And all it takes is one meal. Now, the way they did this is they had, in Sydney, Australia, 14 people aged 18 through 40 ate two meals of carrot cake and a milkshake 1 month apart. One meal was high in saturated fat using coconut oil, and the other was high in polyunsaturated fat using safflower oil. So this is a very simple comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The researchers, led by Dr. Stephen Nicholas, a cardiologist now at the Cleveland Clinic, found that 3 hours after eating the saturated fat cake and shake, the lining of the arteries was hindered from expanding to increase blood flow. And after 6 hours, the anti-inflammatory qualities of the good cholesterol were reduced. So the lesson here is the same old lesson. If you have a choice, eat polyunsaturated fats. And
but the good carrot cake had the other fat. Right?
Avoid the saturated fat. It's really, really bad. So isn't that interesting? Just one meal.
Wow.
So with that in mind, I saw this interesting business clip. Let me turn to page 23 of my extensive notes. Dunkin' Donuts is going to expand not just a little bit. Here's their goals, okay? They are going to try to triple the number of stores it has right now by the year 2015. It hopes to grow from 4,400 stores to 15,000 stores, giving it more locations than Starbucks and McDonald's currently have. Now, the company is going to target this growth in two areas, Dallas and then Phoenix. Now, well, I don't know what it is about
Dallas.
What is it about these two cities that do we need to get fat and talk about saturated fat?
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is the saturated fat story.
Is this what the world needs?
More Dunkin' Donuts? All concentrated in Dallas.
Yeah, I know.
It's 2,000 new Dunkin' Donuts surrounding the city in the Metroplex here in Dallas.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, why do the business executives think there's a need for a donut? A threefold increase in the number of stores for a donut place. But this is interesting. Donuts are no longer the chain's biggest business. About 60%. Yeah. So the company's $4.1 billion in annual sales comes from coffee. So Dunkin' Donuts claims to sell about 2.7 million cups of coffee per day. McDonald's sells about 1.36 million cups of coffee per day. And Starbucks doesn't really say, but people estimate them to be at about 4 million cups of coffee a day. And in this news...
So 4 million and then Dunkin' Donuts is half.
Correct. Now. But
they're going after
Starbucks. In fact, that's essentially what they're saying.
Well,
they're saying,
the East Coast, they're known for their coffee.
Well, I've tried their coffee because I remember somebody was telling me, oh, you like Starbucks, you got to try Dunkin' Donuts coffee.
Right.
So first of all, you go into Dunkin' Donuts and it's crappy because all you got is donuts there. Crappy donuts. And then I tried the coffee, and you know, it's okay. It's just not great, though. I wouldn't go there for the coffee or the ambiance. There's no way it's going to beat Starbucks.
Well, maybe they're going to upgrade their ambiance. Maybe they've got something up their sleeve.
They sell donuts and crappy donuts at that. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe they're gonna make designer.
They're gonna have donistas. They're gonna be making your coffee in the morning.
I mean, you know, if they did things like beignets,
there you go. Maybe.
I would be there because I love beignets, and you can't get those at Starbucks. So, if
Dunkin' Donuts execs are listening,
if the Dunkin' Donuts, you listen here. I just gave you a great idea for free. Beignets would sell, baby. But I don't think Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks, is probably shaken right now. I doubt if that's happening. All right, and if I can continue on this health roll.
Well, you are just so healthy. Go for it.
Okay. There is a fellow named Joel Rivera. You ever heard of him?
No.
He's in the Bronx, and he is the council member of New York City. He's the chairman of the Slim Health Committee. Yes.
In New York City?
Yes, the city has a Slim Health Committee.
They do?
What's up with that?
Okay. I live there. I don't remember ever seeing that, but okay.
And I decided to kind of like Google his picture because I was hoping he'd be like this big, ominously fat guy, and he's a very trim, handsome man, unfortunately. So anyways, he wants to, he's submitted a, what are these things called, a bill to the city, and he wants to limit the number of fast food establishments within specific proximity of each other and try to give incentives for healthy alternatives and give people choice. And what's interesting also, he wants to add a lot of these zoning laws to low-income neighborhoods where diseases like type 2 diabetes are most prevalent.
Right.
And he's getting a lot of criticism for it, a lot of flack, you know. And obviously, you can't. The biggest opposition is, hey, you know, would you rather have Big Brother watching
food.
You or, you know,
yeah,
or.
Power of choice.
Or
yeah.
Would you rather have a Big Mac or Big Brother? I think it was the way it was. And the power of choice. And what about these people in the low income restaurants?
Food.
How are they going to get food anyway?
Right.
Not only it's not very expensive, but also what about the jobs and so forth? So there's a lot of other issues. And I think this is, ridiculous legislation. But I will have to say, it did make a lot of press. And I think that's a good thing. And because now people are saying, one of the most vocal critics, and I didn't get her name in New York, but she was saying, you know, why aren't we talking about better ways to transform fast food into healthier alternatives? Why aren't we talking about better ways to make, schools offer better food and incentivize to do that? And you know what? All those are great ideas
and
should be on the table.
The fast food chains are doing it themselves. I mean, some of their salads are actually not bad. They have done salad comparisons, and they're saying some of the fast food salads are actually pretty low in calories.
Yeah, no, I've seen a comparison of chicken fried salads and
chicken fried salads. Well, how exactly do you do that?
And the best one only had like 80% trans fat, so it was good. Salads are
with the carrot cake for dessert and the milkshake, right?
The carrot cake and milkshake with the trans fat, because we all know trans fat tastes better.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, salads. I mean, come on, how fat can lettuce be? You know, anybody can do lettuce.
You know, it's the dressing. It's the dressing, it's the avocado.
You know, from a dressing standpoint, if you put olive oil and vinegar, it tastes great, and that's not even unhealthy. All at that point it's just about calories. But olive oil is good for you. So don't give me none of that fancy schmancy dressing stuff. It's too easy. Ooh, they do a good job on salads. Doesn't legitimize them.
Well, they are trying themselves to police themselves because they're getting so much flack.
I know they are. McDonald's, I think, for a while was trying to get away from trans fat in their fries, and they went back to it, and now I think they're trying to experiment with it again.
It's personal choice. All about it. So, hey, here's some disturbing news.
Okay.
Every year, all the mayors of all the different cities all get together and
yes.
have a big powwow, and they all talk about things that they have in common that they want to share. You know, they brainstorm, they share ideas, they talk about homeland security or poverty or immigration or eminent domain, things like that. This year they got together, and the big press release that they had to come out with, very unfortunate, but they did a written survey, and they didn't have to write down what city they were from, but they did poll like these 183 mayors.
Right.
4 out of 5 of the mayors say that they are not prepared for a terrorist attack or a natural disaster. That's 5 years after 9/11 and 1 year after Katrina. 4 out of 5 mayors are saying we're not ready. And most of them are saying that the reason is because they don't have enough federal money to support full communication so that first responders can talk to each other. That's really pretty sad because the federal government is saying that they've given the states several billion dollars, $18 billion in grants since 2003, and $2 billion of that has been for improved communications. When asked how far away cities are from having full communications interoperability, they say 4 years. So let's not have another disaster for 4 years, and then maybe we can all talk to each other.
Wow.
And the other thing that was pretty scary, when asked about the level of confidence in FEMA on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best, the answer was 5.2. So these are the mayors of the biggest and most important and even smallest cities in the United States are really saying they have no confidence in the federal government's response.
It is very disturbing. On the other hand, it also seems like they may be incentivized to say those kinds of things so that they get more attention from the federal government. But nevertheless, it's still disturbing, and I've heard.
But even they would take a beating like Ray Nagin did in New Orleans.
Sure.
That if their city was caught in a natural disaster or terrorist attack, and they had filled out this form and they're saying we're not ready,
right?
And we're telling you right now we're not ready. We need another 4 years,
right?
And here's the other one. Bird flu, if that comes this way, oh, just forget it. You might as well just all run, because 70% of the mayors say they are absolutely not prepared for any kind of bird flu epidemic coming anywhere near their cities. 70% flat out say they don't have a plan for days or weeks.
Aren't they putting themselves down?
I think they're being honest.
Why don't they have a plan? I mean, they should have a plan in place, and they should say, well, this is what we need, you know, from a monetary standpoint.
I think it's on the list, you know, the to-do list, but that list is pretty long.
So,
you know, it's a really long list.
Yeah, so it's interesting that they're complaining about themselves in that respect. But look, I've heard some other studies that Homeland Security, a lot of money has been put into it with very, very little results.
That's true. And
so it's just very depressing.
Let's hope no terrorists are listening.
Do we have any terrorists that listen to the show?
If so, they're supposed to like call or write in, right?
Yeah, call right
in.
Isn't
that podcast?
Call right in. We got our number on the website. I never bring it to the studio with me, so I don't know what it is. But just call in. Tell us what your next planned outing is. And, you know, give us a little heads up, guys. Come on.
Well, don't worry. The mayors aren't prepared anyhow, so it's all right.
It's not really going to help.
It's not going to matter.
I mean, we don't have the communications infrastructure to tell anybody.
That's true.
Maybe podcasting. Why can't podcasting become the communication infrastructure?
Well, it just might be.
Because we all know how timely it is.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, can I, as long as we're doing disturbing,
can I slip something more disturbing
very disturbing? This is very disturbing. I mean,
more so than the penguins.
I shouldn't laugh. This is, yeah. Yeah. We talked about the penguins last week.
Yeah, we did. That's right.
That was last week. We're fooling you again. We're doing this the same night. Oh, we're clever. We're so clever. But it looks like you guys get a show every week, and we don't have to do it every week. So there. And why are you groaning? Because I'm giving it all away?
It's not like we have to do it.
No, we
don't
have to do anything. We love doing it. We love doing it for you. All right. Did you hear about these?
What's disturbing, Jeff?
It's really disturbing. I couldn't believe it when I read it, so I had to copy it down and
tell
everybody
about it. This isn't the 50,000 dogs that were clubbed in China, is it?
No, that sounds really disturbing. No. No, but I heard something. Okay, little off the topic here. I was listening to History of Bob. Great pod. History of Bob. History according to Bob. A great podcast. He just talks about 15, 20 minutes on different topics of history.
Okay.
So I listened to it in the car and in the gym. I love it. He was talking about the bubonic plague, and I'm not going to get into the bubonic plague completely, but one thing, France was one of the most hit countries. And I think like they lost 80% of their people. But the bubonic plague, for those that don't know, happened about 1370, 1375. Actually, I think it was 1379 to be precise.
Okay.
I just heard it today. So.
All right. So points to you. 1379, bubonic plague.
I can
plague.
Just whip wipes that out, right out.
Wipes out France.
80% of France. They were the most hard hit. And you know why? This is very, very interesting. You'll never get it. I'll take a guess.
Because the way their cities were laid out?
No.
And they couldn't haul the dead bodies away?
No.
They didn't have any place to put them?
You're a very intelligent woman. And you're making very smart answers, but that's not it. You'll never get it, because it's just too weird.
Okay. Oh, the rats?
Yes, okay.
Something about the rats.
So there was less, there was
There was nobody
more
to kill the rats.
Rats, yes.
Nothing to kill the rats.
Yes. And why was that?
Because they had shipped them all off somewhere else.
No. What?
There were no
what?
Cats to kill the rats.
Very good. Okay. And why weren't there any cats to kill the rats?
They were scared of the cats. Because they killed them all with the witches.
They did. They killed. You're really good. They killed all the cats because at that time in France, they massively burned and killed cats because they thought cats were a symbol of evil.
I vaguely remember that.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
And that's sort of the parallel to China clubbing the dogs because they have rabies. And this was then
okay.
The big outcry last week. Maybe while you were off in the conference, you weren't paying attention.
I wasn't,
oh
no.
Oh my God, it was just appalling.
I didn't see that news article
it
at all.
It was a province in China just decided they had 5 cases of rabies.
Yep.
So the way they were going to handle it, take any dog they saw and just kill it on site, even if it belonged to somebody.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was a worldwide outcry. Boycott China, which unfortunately we can't do that.
Yeah, I can't
anymore.
Do that very easily.
You can't really do that. You won't buy anything if you boycott China. But it was just, that's how barbaric is that? That's how we're going to solve something that has a preventable shot.
And this is like a government policy.
This was the government policy in one province.
Oh my God.
That's what I thought you were going to talk about. But
no.
You're parallel to there were no cats. They were all killed. So
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Something will happen now in China.
Right.
Because there are no dogs.
Exactly.
Something is going to happen.
Exactly.
And then we're going to wonder why was
there will be no more butt sniffing in China. And what ramification will that have?
Well, actually, they eat dog in China, so it may not be dog on the
There'll be a starvation crisis there. Okay, now these are the U.S.
Were you done with the bubonic thing?
Yeah.
I didn't mean to take
Yeah, no, it's done.
Away.
Yeah. I wasn't even going to talk about that until you mentioned the dogs. Did you see this? The U.S. Marines that were caught raping and killing an Iraqi family?
They weren't caught, Jeff.
No, they weren't caught.
They weren't caught. They were accused.
They were accused of it.
They're accused.
Yeah, but
be careful with your words here.
All
this
right.
This is very political.
All right. According to, but they've got eyewitnesses here, then he's saying, according to Beers, one of the guys, Barker told him that when they arrived at the house, well, first of all, Beers said Barker's statement made it clear that this guy Green was very persistent about killing some Iraqis and kept bringing up the idea. So at one point, they decided to go to this house with this
14-year-old
girl.
But they didn't know she was 14, right?
This article doesn't say that, but listen to what they did. At 14, that doesn't matter at all. So Barker told them that when they arrived at the house, the father and the female were outside the house. Spielman grabbed her while Green seized her father and took them into the house. with Bierce said, quoting Barker, okay, Cortez and Barker also blah, blah, blah. Green took the father, mother, and the youngest sister, who I think was five, into the bedroom and closed the door while the alleged victim remained in the living room with the others. Barker told that Cortez pushed the female to the floor, lifted her dress, and tore off her underwear while she struggled, Bierce said. A lot of these says. Cortez apparently raped her or appeared to rape her, according to Barker's statement. Barker then tried to rape the female. I don't know why he just tried, but Bierce said. Suddenly the group heard gunshots. Green came out of the bedroom holding an AK-47 and declared, "They're all dead. I just killed them." So Green put the gun down, then raped her while Cortez held her down. Barker claims Green picked up the AK-47 and shot her once, paused, and shot her several more times. So that's...
Why are we talking about this? Because this is all alleged, and it hasn't been brought to a military court, and it's...
It's just, I don't know, this is what's in the news, what this guy said. So maybe it's just alleged. Maybe that's fair.
It's definitely alleged at this point.
All right. Well, this is like a guy...
He can't try. He's innocent until proven guilty.
All right. Oh, then he confirmed he got Carol. She says this, I'm going to keep... I'm going to keep going. Barker confirms he got a kerosene lamp and poured the fuel on her, and then they set her on fire, and then I guess they raped her again.
Yeah, and you wonder why they don't like us over there. Why they're not finding
all right, this
Americans.
This is all alleged.
It's totally alleged.
All right, so maybe
he
it didn't happen that way.
He will be brought to a military trial.
But if it did happen, things don't get much worse than that. Can you imagine? I mean, in this, you know... If this happened in the United States in just a domestic incident, it would be a huge, huge deal because people don't get much more evil than that. I mean, there's, according to this statement, there's no threat of terrorism there. It's a family, you know.
But this was the kid that had something on MySpace, right? He wrote something on MySpace and then they had to pull it down. This is him.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I think this is him. Well,
so it may not be true. Is that what you're telling me?
That he was slightly disturbed, I think. And they've identified that he shouldn't have been in the military.
Oh, the guy Green. Yeah, mm-hmm. I saw that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But. So that's my disturbing story of the week.
That is disturbing.
Yeah.
And let's hope it doesn't work out like that. But, you know, it's not a good topic over there.
No.
It's not going as we thought. Mm-hmm. Democracy is not taking hold in old Iraq, is it?
They're not going to have a good time in the old town tonight.
No, they don't like
it. It's going to be civil war, whether we like it or not.
Rape me. Rape me, my friend. Rape me. Rape me.
So, let me test your memory.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. Remember, I've got three words for you.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to remember them. All right. And listeners, you remember this too.
Okay.
Broadway.
Okay.
Knowledge.
Okay.
Purple. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you a little bit about memory. As we get towards middle age, and we are, do you often think, wow, my memory is getting worse? You ever think that?
Yeah, but not really. Sometimes, yeah.
It turns out that memory lapses are part of the normal wear and tear that goes along with middle age. So you might
not. I heard that sometimes mental lapses are part of the wear and tear of what happens in middle age. Did you hear that?
Your memory is all cloudy, yeah. And there's two reasons really why that is. It's because we multitask too much and we don't pay enough attention to one topic.
Yeah.
Okay, so where attention is the gateway to retention. And the old proverb, the worst pencil is better than the best memory, is still really true, according to all these memory specialists out there.
Very interesting. Yeah, but has it become worse because we're so multitasking now?
Yes.
I mean, we have these we were talking about MTV last week. The MTV generation,
we've got way too much
the internet.
On, right?
I can Google one topic A to topic
That's
B
right.
to topic
I'm
C.
I'm listening to this. I'm doing that. I've got the phone. I'm just, you're doing all kinds of things.
Right.
But people tend to blame their age instead of their busyness factor as they forget things. That's actually not true. Hmm. And that makes you think that your memory is worse than it really is. But it's one of the real reasons is that you're just too busy. And it's one of the reasons why we don't remember people's names when we meet them is because they're an abstract concept and they're the older we get, the harder it is to sort through the data. And then it gets like rush hour, and our middle-aged brain is like a bunch of cars on a bridge during rush hour, and there's too many cars, there's too few lanes, and nobody can get through, so everything just kind of stops. And that's why you black out and you can't remember somebody's name, which I thought was sort of interesting. And the other reason we can't remember things, which this has been proven in study after study, is because of anxiety. So when you're under a lot of stress, you tend to forget things more and more. And if you have a very stressful week, you probably can't remember where your car keys are.
Really?
Uh-huh. It's because there's too much cortisol, which is a hormone that's produced when we're under high levels of stress, and it interferes with memory. But if you go a week and with no stress or low stress, your memory goes back to where it had been. So I thought that was really kind of interesting.
Very interesting. So there's no nothing to do with memory and age? Or only at the very extreme.
At the very extreme, and that's when they've done a lot of studies about more cortisol, maybe, and whatever brings on Alzheimer's, that comes later on, and that is definitely physiological.
Right.
But normally, as we go through life, it's busyness and stress that cause us to forget.
I think age is always, it's one of those things that you just sort of, it's just kind of joke about.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting too old. I can't remember that.
I can't remember where I put my keys.
Right.
I can't remember what I came down the stairs for.
Right. You're not really taking it very seriously. It's just sort of something to say is kind of funny.
Right.
So, but that's interesting.
So do you remember the three words?
Broadway, knowledge, and purple. Right?
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. That means you're not like, it means you've got it together. But even if most people would only remember two of them.
Really?
And that's normal. Yeah. Huh. Yeah. And an exercise like that. So it doesn't, and it really just something like that. That's one of the things they test for. There's all different kinds of memories, but that's just.
Cool.
It's actually okay if you don't remember them all. Now, if you forget the exercise totally, then maybe there is a bit of a problem.
The words are
like,
comedy.
What was I even remembering?
Jeff and Gretchen.
There you go. So all about memory. That's it.
And how'd you do on the test?
I did a word association, and I remembered the color purple on Broadway, and something about Oprah Winfrey being knowledgeable. I don't know. I remembered them.
Well, the word's not knowledgeable; it's knowledge.
Knowledge. Yeah. There you go. I failed then.
Okay. Well, did you see this? This is about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Andrea Yates, the woman that drowned 5 of her kids.
Oh, good. Another happy story. Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm Mr. Happy today.
All right. Yes, Andrea got...
She's free.
She's in a mental institution.
She's in a mental institution. But she was... the jury said that she could...
She was insane.
She was innocent by...
insanity.
By the insanity. What's interesting about it is this is a retrial. She was tried actually, I think, 2-3 years ago and found guilty, but that was judged a mistrial because of some evidence that was brought into the jury. So she probably was insane at the time. And why else would anybody kill their 5 kids? But is that a reasonable punishment then, life or whatever it is in a mental institute? You know, I don't know. I never know what to do about these cases.
And her ex-husband supports her. Yeah, he still visits her.
Yeah.
Very, very unusual relationship. So.
Yeah. So, I just don't know how society should judge things like that. Wasn't there another woman last week that was kind of also killed her kids, but she was found guilty. She was found to be sane at the time. And so she's,
Wow.
Getting the penalty for it. But I would think to kill your kids, you'd have to be somewhat insane at the time. Almost by definition, and it just seems that way. And is that an excuse? But I guess you're out of society, you're in a mental hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's talk about something happier.
All right.
Happy countries? Guess what the happiest country in the world is?
What is the happiest country in the world?
Denmark.
Really?
Yeah. Who would have thought that, right?
What makes them so happy?
Well, a scientist at the University of Leicester in England ranked 178 countries.
And I heard somebody on the radio call Leicester Leicester. No, Leicester. Leicester. That's what he said, Leicester. And I thought, huh?
I thought it's pronounced Leicester.
I know. I'm pretty sure it's Leicester, yeah.
So what he looked at was whether the overall quality of life and whether people were generally happy and satisfied with their situation and their environment. And the definitions that he used to affect happiness were health, wealth, and education. And so he's come up with the first world map of happiness.
Wow.
And it was actually very interesting because the countries in order after Denmark were Switzerland, which I've been there, I never thought of them as being a particularly happy people.
I know.
But then Austria.
And say chocolate is an aphrodisiac, so maybe that's endorphin giving.
And then Iceland.
I'm sorry, what was the third one?
Austria.
Right by Switzerland. Huh.
And
how
then
about that?
Iceland, up there, sort of near Denmark.
Really?
Then the Bahamas, which I can understand.
Yeah.
It's pretty laid back, pretty happy place. Then back to Finland.
Wow.
You know?
They
so
really got it going in Scandinavia.
And then followed by Sweden.
Yeah.
And then followed by Bhutan. And then Brunei. And then Canada. And you might wonder, so where is the United States? Well,
we're not that happy.
No, with stories like some of the ones you've just reported, no, we're really not that happy.
I'm contributing to that unhappiness.
That's right. Between the penguins and Andrea Yates and, oh my God, and the soldiers in Iraq. We came in 23rd. Britain came in 41st. Germany was 35th. And France, after all the bubonic plague, they're only 62nd.
They're still not recovering from the bubonic plague.
And what was interesting is a lot of Asian countries scored really low. Like, surprisingly, China was 82nd, Japan was 90, and India was 125. Now, you'd think they'd be a little happier. India's like on a roar, man. So is China.
Yeah.
So you just think that they would, maybe their scores will go up as the years go on.
I shouldn't say this, but the people that, of my country, they go to, our data center in India. They just come back. It's such a beating.
Why?
It's just such a beating.
I mean, because it's so hard.
It's hard.
It's just hard to live.
Hard. I mean, it's third world country. And they've got these great jobs. And, their people are doing well in some degrees. But it's a third world country. It's tough. Yeah. It's overcrowded. It's just dirty. And
why it's 132.
Yeah. Maybe it is.
Yeah.
Asia being low doesn't particularly surprise me. I have friends in a number of Asian countries, and it's a beating to live there too. I think it's, for there it's a different beating. It's a beating of a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
You have lots of pressure on you. Everybody's watching you. It's much more,
You don't have any personal space either.
Yeah, you don't have personal space, especially in some of the bigger cities. Right,
mm-hmm.
right. So I could see that.
Right.
But what's interesting about that, the countries that are happy is they're, except for Bahamas, sort of, a lot of the top 10 is pretty much the northern countries.
Very cold countries,
Or countries at least with four seasons. And I wonder if there's something to do with the change in seasons that makes people
aren't most
always
of them socialists, too? I mean, most of them are,
what's
public health care.
Oh, public health care, sure. Yeah.
Like Iceland and
that's
Finland
true.
And Sweden.
That's true.
Oh, and Sweden, they get, 18 months off for childcare, and, I mean, some of the most liberal policies.
When I was up there, they were always complaining about their taxes, though. I mean, you do pay for it, right. I mean, you do pay for all that great stuff, but some people don't want to pay all that much.
But, hey, how about best jobs? Want to know what best jobs are right now?
I do.
You'd find them interesting.
Okay, tell me.
It's not about plastics anymore, baby. It's about computers and healthcare. The number one best job at the moment. If you live in the United States, you want to be a software engineer.
I can't believe it. Where are you getting this data?
That is from Money Magazine. They did a big poll, and that is the number one.
I just find it hard to believe because
they're needed in every part of the economy.
But the jobs are all going overseas. I wouldn't advise a youngster to go into software engineering right
now. There's 44,000 openings annually.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Stress, how about that?
Stress is, it's a grade of B in the stress level, a grade of B on flexibility, a grade of A on creativity, and a grade of C on ease of entry.
Huh.
And the salary is over $80,000.
Very good.
So second best job in the United States right now, college professor.
Really?
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Really interesting. It's just really great flexibility, and they don't work all that many hours.
Nice. What do they make?
$81,000 on the average.
Okay. Not bad.
And we're going to need about 95,000 of them annually.
That many?
Yeah, for the next 10 years.
Holy crap, really?
Yeah.
That seems like a lot.
It does, doesn't it?
Maybe I should do that.
There you go.
See myself being a professor.
Or perhaps you went number three, which is a financial advisor. This wasn't even a job years ago. That's what's amazing about it right now.
Oh, I know. I think I saw this poll.
Did you see it?
But it sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah, financial advisor. I know a lot about financial stuff, and I like to do my own stuff, but I think I would hate to advise others.
Well, they make a lot. They make $125,000.
That's huge.
Human resource managers. That surprises me. That's number four on the poll. And expecting
what's
to be
driving that?
32,000. Yeah, more and more companies. HR is not about benefits, about finding people who fit in because
because of the costs associated with turnover.
Mm-hmm. So HR managers are just having a whole set of work skills that they're doing, and they're farming a lot of the mundane stuff out.
Yeah. So a lot of the real intelligent skill is trying to make the right match of employer to company.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of at that
strategic planners now.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. They're not doing, benefits administration.
Right.
They're not taking
right.
care of your health plan. They're outsourcing that.
Right.
And number five on those, physician assistant. There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've always thought if I can't make it in my technology industry, if the jobs just all get exported, I would go into something like that.
Well, there you go.
Go back for a year or two of school and become, what was it?
4 years of college, to 3 years of training and an accredited program, plus a national exam.
Yeah.
That's what's required.
Yeah.
Oh, and number six, a market research analyst. Now, there is a new category that really hasn't been around, but because companies are doing so much work before they bring out a new product, and now it's all about the research and market analysts who can analyze the data.
Ooh, I could do that, too.
You could do that. Number seven, a computer IT analyst.
There you go.
The whole world is at the mercy of IT folks. Isn't that the case? Number eight, a real estate appraiser. Number nine, a pharmacist. And number 10, a psychologist. I thought that was really interesting.
We all need our help.
We certainly do.
Yeah.
And they also talked about jobs that won't even be here in 8 years.
Like what?
I thought that was absolutely amazing. Ranchers and farmers, because of the consolidation in the farming industry, almost 150,000 ranching and farming jobs are going to be gone.
I'm in my fourth year of ranching school. you're telling me I'm not...
You're screwed.
I'm
so screwed.
I don't believe
you're so
it.
So screwed. And also, if you're a sewing machine operator, just forget it.
Sewing machine operator? That was my minor. Damn.
A rancher and a sewing machine operator.
I figured when I'd be out in the plains doing my ranching, I could take my sewing machine with me and do some, make some stuff.
And the other thing, I actually saw one the other day.
Wait, is there sewing machine operators today, though? I mean, that doesn't surprise me. It's going to be extinct in 7 years.
Because they're all being outsourced. Yeah, they're all going. Jobs are not in the United States anymore.
But I would think most sewing is automated. I mean,
you need somebody to operate the
machines.
Sure.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And there are big, like Los Angeles has a big industry.
Yeah,
right south of the border. But
yeah, okay.
And the other job that's going to be obsolete. Now, I hope this doesn't break your heart, but a meter reader. Can you even imagine that there's people who still read meters? I saw one
Losers.
Across my yard the other day. He was running across my yard. I'm thinking, what does he do? And he actually comes and finds your meter and reads
it. I got a guy that comes in the back alley and that has got a little telescope that looks at.
He's looking in your window.
Probably is. He's got all the equipment to do it, but he's looking so he doesn't have to get into the yard to look at the gas meter. So there'll be no more gas meter readers?
Yeah, because it's all going to be automated.
Yeah, that just makes sense.
Yeah, so I hope you weren't going to night school for that. Well, I have five fun things.
All right, five fun things.
Five fun things. Did you know that every day in the United States, there's more money printed for Monopoly than the U.S. Treasury?
I didn't know that.
I thought that was fun.
That is very fun.
Okay, the second thing. Do you think you can lick your elbow?
No.
You're right.
Can't.
People can't lick their elbow.
Trying it right now.
And 75% of people who hear this will try that.
Right.
You just did. Okay. Did you know that the...
By the way, as long as we're talking about elbows,
yes?
See this right here? What I'm doing is
Yes, everybody can see that.
Yeah. No, what I'm doing is I'm taking the skin on my elbow and pulling it out. It's kind of that...
You're still trying to lick it, but okay.
Yeah, it's kind of that, like, that little hanging thing. You know what that is called? There's a name for that.
What?
It's called a weenus. I kid you not. Look it up. All right. So I'm educating our audience.
How do you spell that?
I believe it's W-I-N-A-S. I found it because I was looking up...
How do you know that?
Do you ever watch Friends? Okay.
The show that's been off the air for many years now?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
Chandler Bing, nobody ever knew what he did, but he worked in a corporation.
Okay.
And what some of the funnier episodes is...
We all do.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yes.
But we don't know what we do. But when his friends would say, what do you do? Well, I make sure that the weenus is always going up. I was like, well, what's the weenus? And it was the weekly estimated... What is it called? Weekly estimated new utilization statistics, something like that. Anyway, the weenus. So I looked up weenus because I was needing
curious.
It.
Curious. Because you had way too much time on your
hands. I was needing it for something I was working on, believe it or not.
Okay.
And they came across this...
little
part of the elbow. It's called the weenus. So
as you try to lick your elbow, everybody who's out there listening, now you'll know that little flappy... skin thing is called the weenus.
So technically you should say you're kissing your weenus.
You're attempting to, but you cannot do it.
Right.
All right. And what do you think the kings and decks of cards are named after? This is my third interesting fact.
Don King the Promoter.
Yes, he's the King of Spades. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. That was really bad. Jeez. No. They're named after great kings in history.
Really?
King David is the King of Spades. Charlemagne's the King of Hearts. Alexander the Great's the King of Clubs. And Julius Caesar's the King of Diamonds.
Who knows
Who
that?
Who knew that?
Nobody
Isn't
knows that.
Isn't that a fascinating fact?
People could make that up and you...
Well, you've got the weenus going on there. So
the
my
weenus.
Fourth fascinating fact is... half of all Americans live within 50 miles of what?
Of water.
No.
Starbucks.
No. That would be like 4 miles of Starbucks.
50 miles of the ocean.
Nope.
Don't tell me. Wait, this is Americans?
Uh-huh.
What percent?
50.
We live within how many miles? 50 miles?
Uh-huh.
Of?
Half of all Americans live within 50 miles of...
It's not water, huh?
Nope. Well, it could be water, but that's not what this poll did.
I don't know.
Their birthplace.
Oh, really?
Isn't that wild? That half of Americans don't leave where they were born.
How about that?
I thought that was interesting. And last but not least, this is one for you, Mr. Numbers Guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you were going to spell out the numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
1, 2, 3.
Right.
How many would you have to get to before you found the letter A?
Of course, I'm doing it right now.
Yep.
I'm sure.
We're going to be here a while.
80% of everybody does it. Okay, I don't know.
We're going to be here a long while.
I don't know.
Because the answer is 1,000.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is amazing. Well, it's not that amazing. I mean, if it's not in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, those 10 digits.
But those are all distinct words, though.
Yeah, that's true.
And none of those words have an A in it,
right.
Which is one of the most common letters in the alphabet.
Which is interesting in by itself, but...
Right.
As long as one of those 10 doesn't have it in there, then it doesn't surprise me that it takes us to go all the way up to 1,000 to get there.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, those are fun facts.
Wait, thank you.
You're very fun
Mr.
today.
Venus.
Mr. Weenus.
So everybody try to lick your elbow and have a nice night.
Lick your weenus. That just sounds fun to say. All right. Hey, give us a call on the line.
Especially if you're a terrorist.
I don't know the telephone line number because I never bring it to the studio. And send me an email at jeff@thisandthatpodcast.com. Gretchen, we don't have an email for
That's
you
okay.
yet.
That's fine.
You don't want email.
You share.
So send it to jeff@thisandthatpodcast.com and Gretchen will get it too.
Oh, yes.
She doesn't want her own mailbox. She can't handle it. She can't handle the truth.
Oh, I can't.
All right, so we're out of here.
Night.
Until next time.